I like to get a bunch of men together.
Okay.
Men that are the hardest of the hard. And I want to be with these men.
It's the Catechin, where we know how to appreciate a good pog. That's right. I'm talking about the well-known phrase for playing a Wildcat game. If you're here for the passion, the intensity, and the thrill of big, juicy plays, then you know how to appreciate pogs. The kind of that will make your heart race and keep you coming back for more. Hell, you might even be a pog yourself. I know I am. Today, we're diving deep into every twist and turn and curve that this game has to offer. We'll be breaking down every bounce, every drive, and every well-rounded play that's making waves on the court. Fellas, how are we feeling? Kentucky beat the Bucknell Bison 100-72. How are we feeling?
The opposite of cooked, so raw.
I mean, what can you say, right? Like, it's a good win without shooting super well, but it all... You know, there's a couple highlights with Kerr, Carissa obviously coming into form a little bit, 12 assists, highest plus minus on the team, and then Kobe coming in, you know, 6 for 8 from 3, 6 boards, 2 assists, and a steal. I mean, other than that, what do you really say? But a 28-point win, but I thought overall it was really good to see him, you know, maybe shoot 36% from 3 and still win a game by, you know, 30 points basically. But, you know, just you did what they're supposed to do before going into the, you know, where it, things get real in about, you know, 3 days. So Duke,
yet another game with somebody different stepping up, playing really well, scoring really well, and that's kind of nice, especially at this point in the season before we play Duke. If they're trying to scout, it's nice that in our exhibitions in our first two games it has been distributed pretty well, different people having good games and winning in totally different ways,
for sure.
In the pregame press conference, Pope was saying that the focus this week was on offensive rebounding and just rebounding in general. He even said that he wanted the team to be a 30% offensive rebounding team, which is that's a high bar. I feel like even if we got halfway there, this team's going to be very tough to beat. And if this team is a 30% rebounding team, this team ain't losing. And you can tell as soon as they came out, just the way they were playing the game, they were all over the offensive glass. So it's nice to have a coach where he has the quick turnaround like that, and you're seeing immediate results after seeing the issue.
Kobe Brea, the hero of the game, I think. But Kirk Creasa is just a composer on the court where he knows... He gave up several good shots for great shots, like they talk about constantly, but it was specifically for highlight reel type finishes, and it was fun to watch. He's chirpy. Kobe Brea can't freaking miss.
I think those two things are going to be massive for the Duke game, like to see Kerr get into form, like 12 out of the 23 assists coming from that dude coming off the injury, you know, second game, but obviously he didn't, you know, play a ton in the exhibitions, but no, that's huge because I think he's going to be a key piece. And he contributed defensively too, you know, I mean, only 2 turnovers to the 12 assists. So for, you know, as much as he held the ball, I mean, I think Kerr, obviously Kobe played well too, but I think Kerr would have to be my MVP for this game for sure. Cause like you said, a lot of good to great on several of those 12 assists.
The kind of crazy thing about 12 assists and 4 rebounds is he only played 21 minutes. And like Amari had his 14 rebounds in 20 minutes. It's where they're playing the same minutes, really, for the most part, as the 2014-2015 platoon team. I mean, everyone there was around 20. And today, only two players played more than 20 minutes. Brea had 26, and Robinson had 24. Everyone else had 20 or lower. I mean, they're I think that keeps them energized. I think it keeps them active, able to participate at a high level. It's great.
Kerr also had a plus 20, and the plus minus led the team.
Yeah, Andrew Carr with the 17 plus minus, and little. I mean, we kind of talked about it during the game, but you know, a little bit of a quiet game, but he contributes. You know what I mean? He's got you know, he can get a few more rebounds, three boards, plus 17. You know, 20 minutes, 11 points, 5 assists, but efficient though. I mean, he played well. Jackson didn't shoot great, but he still had 14. I mean, just a lot of balance. That's the thing. Is it's a, like you said, Ben. It seems like it's a different guy. It could be a different guy or not. You know, we just we're talking even, you know, in the exhibitions, like with Owe, and he's going to have a phenomenal year. And he didn't play exceptionally today. You know, he missed all his threes and stuff, but he still had a couple steals, five rebounds. You know, everyone can that got on the floor contributed in some form or fashion. Every player was positive on the plus minus, which is a big deal.
I feel like the way that Mark you see the Andrew Carr breakout, like that could be that's a game changer for this team moving forward.
Yeah.
When he carves out a role for himself. And he starts figuring out where he fits into this picture, then we're looking at something special.
Such a good point, because like, remember how many of these guys were playing together last year? None of them, right? Like essentially. And so, I mean, really they weren't. And so that's the thing too, is it seems like they're a much more cohesive unit than you'd expect at this point but that's the difference between, you know, getting some grown transfers versus like, you know, a bunch of five-star freshmen that has kind of been the norm before, you know, Pope got here. But I think that's going to be huge. Like you say, this is just scraping the surface. There's a whole nother level I think this team is going to go to pretty quickly.
Yeah, I really like the amount of basketball you get per game with how Mark Pope runs his offense and defense. Everybody talks about the Mark Pope offense, video game offense, whatever. You get down the court fast. You take your shots as soon as you have them. But also, the way that he built the team, and he has these perimeter defenders just either forcing that ball to either come out quickly or causing a turnover, and which leads to another quick offensive possession. It makes for very fast. The time runs out like it flies by every one of these games, but they put so many possessions in on both sides. It's just, it's really fun to watch. It's an exciting brand of basketball.
Absolutely.
You can tell that we won by 41 and 28. Those aren't close games, but the crowd never really lost the vigor, especially
when
the Kentucky boys came on to mop up duty. They're still getting very hype. So yeah, it's very fun to be a Kentucky basketball fan right now.
You really can see the benches engaged too. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
I really wanted that, but you're good. Go ahead.
No, I was saying it like the bench is energized, like they seem to all really enjoy playing together. It's just the vibes are high across the crowd, the team, the coach. I mean, everything's good right now. It gets real though, real in 3 days time, and I can't wait to see this one. Duke and Kentucky, it's, you know, you go from Bucknell and to Duke, it's gonna be great.
Personality wise, you would think that the team would be like the Mark Pope choir boy, whatever, but then you have Brea having him, you know, just mocking him. You have to call a timeout now. You know, or I'm just going to keep hitting these fucking threes. So,
last game too, and he turned his back at waiting on the shot to go in off of another Kirk Creasa no look pass, which is becoming more and more frequent.
Yes, almost like expected at this point.
That play style.
I have to say, if that was Patrick Mahomes.
That play style with the, especially with Kerr and the selfless passing, about him passing up good shots for great shots, and how fun it is with the no look passes. You had Amari Williams doing no look passes today, and
you did.
Just that style of play where they're having fun passing the ball to each other is infectious, and it can just run throughout the entire team, and that's what looks like is what's happening. No matter what the results are of the game on Tuesday, I still feel great about the team. That sounds like pre-Pope, but it's not. But
no, I was going to say something similar. I think the biggest, like, you know, they've been blowing out everyone, both exhibitions, both regular season games, all blowouts, right? They've gone, and they've been fast games too. But I think the biggest thing, if I'm going to nitpick a little bit, would be the turnovers in the post between Carr and Williams. I think they had 8 of the 15 today, which the 15 was the high out of all both the exhibitions and here. But I think some of those weren't super forced, but I do think, you know, it's going to be a big Amari and Carr. It's going to be a very big 1-2 against Duke, and they're going to have to play their best game to pull that one off. So I think that'd be a big point of emphasis. And obviously, you know, Pope knows he's doing it. It's nothing new, but I think that's what I'm going to be watching for the most, is those two and how they kind of are able to establish themselves early on in that Duke game.
I do the, have a – go ahead, bud.
I was just going to say, on the flip side of the turnovers in the post, Brandon Garrison, OA, Brea, Almanor, and Perry all have zero turnovers on the season. And Perry hasn't played a ton of minutes, but the other four have all been in quite a bit and handling the ball, passing, bringing the ball up the court, and no turnovers from any of them through two games is pretty cool. So
definitely.
I think the first game we only had, what, seven turnovers. This one we doubled that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But even still, I know we said last time that some of the turnovers seem to be like things that would improve as the team gels. It's not an out of bounds. It's not a travel. You thought he was going to cut. He thought he was going to stay, and you threw the ball where he wasn't. And I know we had at least two of those today. Mm-hmm. You know, so and it's so much better to see that kind of turnover than a sloppy travel or double dribble or, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the ball got stolen. You know,
you're not given a pick six basically on those turnovers a lot of the time. It's mostly a dead ball turnover.
I have a theory on, because even the first half, the offense looked a little bit sluggish, and we were taking a lot of, like, weirdly, like, contested mid-range shots or long twos, where it's just like, fella, just take two steps back, and I'm happy with that shot, because then at that point, the juice is worth the squeeze. But I have a theory. I think we spent most of this week working on defense and on rebounding, that offense might not have been the focus as much. Did you guys see that too? I wonder if that's going to show up on the
report. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, Ben dipping out real quick. Yeah,
but I think we just spent most of it working on defense and rebounding, and maybe we weren't able to focus in enough on offense this week. So it took us a little bit to catch our rhythm.
Wait, how many did we score? We only scored
still 100.
Yeah,
it's the thing is we're looking a gift horse in the mouth right now.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. So the line opens up at what, 22.5, and then it goes up to 28.5. I don't know exactly what happened in that amount of time, if it was just that quickly. You know, the entirety of the gambling industrial complex just turns its opinion, or if somebody got hurt or something. I'm not really sure.
I just think it was a poor line at the outset, honestly, and a lot of people hammered it, and it had to keep going up. That's what I would imagine. Yeah.
But
ended up being a pretty dang accurate line, yeah. I was going to say, they really cooked on that one.
Yeah.
What are the Duke game going to open up line-wise? What do you think? Do we know? I mean, I don't know when that stuff comes out, but I would imagine they'd be favored by like 8.5.
I was going to say, I think Duke by 8.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 7.5. It's like they're going to give it a weird, odd number for some reason.
Yeah, right now, KenPom has us losing by 7, and Torvik has as 5.5-point underdogs. So somewhere in there, high single digits.
So I don't know how much more you guys want to talk about this game in specific before we talk about Duke, because we're not gonna record again until that game. So do we have any closing thoughts on the Bucknell game? Or
I thought it exposed a couple things, good coaching points, achieved a lot from the offensive rebounding standpoint. Like you said, I think they were focused a lot on D this week for the Duke game, honestly. And I think that there's a lot of coachable things here in a 28-point win. That's all you can really ask for. But it's Bucknell. We move. You know, 3 days from now, it's Duke. So it gets real, real fast.
We
won the Sestina Bowl.
Two things. First, Nate Sestina being a 41% three-point shooter who averaged 6 points per game under Cal is so on brand. one of the best shooters by percentage that he had probably his whole tenure here, and 6 points per game. And we saw him in TBT. I mean, he shoots so well, and it's just a shame thinking what could have been.
There's an argument he was the best player on that TBT team.
He was the best player. Other than Enos Cantor's brother.
Oh, yeah. He was
cousin, brother.
the only non-cat on the team.
Yeah, right. My only other thought on this game is that one thing I'd like to see improve is Brandon Garrison. I feel like sometimes, especially off a rebound, it takes him a second to process where people are. Everyone else moves so fluidly.
And
he does sometimes, but especially on an offensive rebound, he kind of has to stop and look around, and a couple times we'll have somebody wide open and there just isn't time to take that second, right? They're no longer open. They would have been wide. You know, you've got Brea on the wing for a three. You kind of need to hit him quickly.
Right.
Take advantage of the fact that there's no one on him yet. So I'd like to see some improvement there, but he's been playing fine. You know, I'm happy with.
Interesting
6 points
to see how
on
much
two for
plays.
Six doesn't sound good, but five rebounds, no turnovers, three assists, only one foul. That's all right.
I think this next game could be won or lost based on how Brandon Garrison plays.
Really? Okay. I was going to say, I don't even know how much he's going to play, truthfully.
It's going to be, it's weird because so I've been looking at the game that they've played, and they have dudes playing in 30 minutes. And that I just don't think that's going to happen when they're being run up and down the court as quick as they're going to have to against us. I don't know. Or they're going to be wore out, and then, you know, Amari Williams can and Brandon Garrison can make those points. But they're that foreign. What's the European kid? Con Knipple or whatever?
Yeah.
Knipple?
Yeah.
He's named Knipple?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Knipple with a K. Yeah, he 6'7" guard. He's the leading scorer. I just wonder who we have guarding him on the perimeter.
Jackson.
Ortega.
Somebody.
So, what's there going to be better than whatever he, you know, went up against Maine and Army? But
that's a good Duke team. I mean, make no mistake, this would be a huge win in the cap of. I mean, this would set this. I mean, it's not. It doesn't. You don't. Nothing really changes win or loss. I mean, with a loss, you know, whatever. Like it is what it is. I'm not even trying to kill. But I honestly think they're going to win the game. But it would be huge. That'd be a huge launching off point for you know, Banner 9, honestly.
So it's hard to tell whether this is an elite basketball team or is this team just way more put together in November than we are used to. But
right.
Might be either both. Way, I think it bodes well for this game.
I think it's a good early season. Yeah, I think it's to the Kentucky's advantage that it's being played a little earlier. You know, we've got, what was it, like 500-plus starts or something like that. That might be a little high. But it's a number in the hundreds, like, for the Kentucky. None of them, obviously, two of them are here now, but, like, over the course of their careers. And that means a lot, you know what I mean, playing that many games, being in Final Fours, you know, stuff like that.
How many commentators over the summer were saying, you know, Kentucky, we like the pieces, we see what he's trying to do, but – where's the you know, they don't have the continuity or whatever. And it feels like this team is more prepared for the season than any team I've watched in, you know, since I've watched basketball
right.
as an adult. So, yeah, is it continuity or is it experience or is it coaching? Because then you hear, you know, certain coaches are like, we haven't got to do 5-on-5 yet. It's November.
So we over me, the buy-in is huge here.
Yeah.
Did you hear or see there was a clip someone shared that was Pope going through the players for Bucknell beforehand, talking about this is what they do well, this is how we'll have to guard them. And it was more basketball than anything I've ever heard from a coach. It was more of an explanation of just what we'd be seeing than I've ever heard coming from a coach at any level in a press conference.
And he's still not a dork.
No,
dude,
right.
Just
right.
One of those dorks.
Absolute junkie with swag, dude.
I don't know. What is it? He, I feel like, has a different, like, time as a concept has a different effect on Mark Pope in general than it does other people because he puts so much more basketball into these games. And then he's recruiting, he's hitting up all this, like, the content and stuff and managing the program as, like, a brand. And then also, he knows every Bucknell player, you know, it's just. It's crazy how much he does. And maybe he didn't sleep.
This was an old Bucknell team by what Pope was saying, too, is that these guys have been playing together for a really long time. So this was another team that was incredibly experienced, and they did have the continuity year over year, and we beat them by 28.
And you can kind of see that out of the gates. They played really hard. They played tough, kept it a little more in check than other games have gone so far. But no, it's a solid squad. I think they have good pieces on that team. There's a lot of times they made some guys, you know, they beat them off the dribble a few times. There's a few defensive assignments that which you didn't see in the other games. You know, you can tell there's a little bit higher level of a team, a little bit better concepts they're running. But yeah, no, that's a good point. But man, I really want that Duke win.
I think one more note I have on this game in particular is Amari Williams did have 5 turnovers. And I think that might be a trend that we see is that Amari might have more turnovers than the rest, because we are playing him as sort of this point center position. So he might have more turnovers than what we're accustomed to seeing for a center.
I hope that's not this next game.
And if he's able to improve that at all.
Yeah.
It might just have to be something that we accept with how this goes.
I mean, maybe not five, but hopefully, you know, cut it down a little bit, because five's tough. But yeah, I mean, you're right, though. He does play that, you know, he kind of is what Ali Khalifa played for BYU last year a little bit, just that, you know, the point center, as you mentioned. So it is fair, like he is using the ball a lot more than, you know. I was more worried about Carr with his ball security in the post a little bit more than I was in the but.
Well, boys.
So one thing I did notice before the game is Noah Williamson, their center, seven-footer, he scored like 32 points their last game. And then he was kind of a non-factor, like from the jump. It felt like that was like on purpose to play like that knockdown type ball right at the beginning, because you knew that what they were going to do offensively. And if you messed it up, even if it kind of messes up your flow, eventually you're going to go on a run, which we did. And when it feels like, especially with these games in particular, we go on one of those runs where they have to call timeout after another Brea three.
Yep.
It kind of becomes manageable from that point. Mm-hmm. Stiff arm the rest of the game. It seems so simple too. Like all of this stuff seems like, why don't all the coaches just do this?
Right.
But it's fun to watch. It's fun to follow. It's fun to see them be told to what to expect and then operate in a way that aligns with whatever the coaching was.
The best thing, I mean, the content that the media team puts out is just great. But the best thing from that 10-minute mic'd up with Pope was there was an out-of-bounds play, and you listen to him tell the players where he wanted them, how it was going to work, then you pass to him, then he cuts, then you pass here. And then they showed the play right afterwards, and it was pass for pass, exactly what he said. And it's just, you're right. It's fun to watch, and it's fun to have that sort of background look, behind the scenes look at it as well.
What he was saying, he was like, really, he's going to go over and then backdoor to Jackson Robinson. And that's exactly how it played out.
It's awesome.
I really do enjoy that. Like, assists are this whole new facet that we are looking for and seeing and noticing and hyping post game. It's like, we didn't think about that really, really before, you know, or just most old school style basketball. You don't think about that assist to a great shot being baller. And it is. It's cool. You know, like he makes this
23 assists on 38 field goals. Yeah, that's pretty good. They'll improve that a little bit, I'm sure. But, you know, not a lot of ISO ball.
There'll be a figure tweet on that. But yeah. If we just had a guy that could go get a bucket.
If only,
you know,
man.
If only. Might have a few of them, actually, so that's good.
If what they meant by we don't have a guy is that we don't have only one guy, then sure, right?
Yeah. You know, maybe that's what they meant.
Like we were saying about it being a different guy every night. Like, I'm fine with that. I'm totally happy winning with the star player being unpredictable. That makes us hard to guard. If anyone can go off on any night, that's awesome.
Also, there's never been a star player that was – great every night. So it's like, if you have to, you know, put your dependency on a guy taking over, then you want to have more dudes that could be that guy that night.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is it's not necessarily a different guy leading every night out of inconsistency. It's that what the game flow brings to the team, right? Like, who's on. It's not necessarily like, hopefully somebody steps up. It's like, somebody will step up. They'll have, you know, an opportunity. And it's going to be different guys every night, you know, whether you know, Jax leads it or isn't, you know. Butler's going to play. Like, this wasn't that well played of a game, truthfully, like, given what this team's capable of, but they still won by 28 against the, you know, again,
they still scored 100 points too. Yeah,
exactly.
And they I think they were at like a 31% from the three first half. Then it went up to what?
41 in the second half, 36 overall for the game, I believe.
Yeah. So rough shooting night, and we still wind up hitting that stride in the second half. And it's just really based off of just one guy doing it. So there's always going to be one guy, though, it feels like, when you have six that could be that guy, like Almanor. had went 3 for 5 the first game.
My last observation here, it was just that for a second, and I don't know how long, haven't been able to see how long yet, but we played Kirk Risa and Lamont Butler together. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting. It's something we didn't do at all against Wright State. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a most likely thing. Probably won't even see it every game. But I love that we're still playing around with the lineup. I love how interchangeable these pieces are, especially 1 through 3. That's really neat. You know, I think a lot of people were curious about who the starting lineup would be before the season started. On the burner depth chart, our starting lineup is totally wrong. We have people in positions that aren't even what they sort of end up playing in the line. I mean, it's funny how wrong we were, especially because these guys are old. We've seen them play,
yeah,
in some cases, 4 years of basketball. And yeah, we still don't even know what position they were going to be in Mark Pope's offense. And I so it's really neat. And I like that like we're still playing ditto with it.
It's like a ditto roster, right? Like, whatever it needs to be, he'll do it. It's very simple. But, and then when you think about it, as in, like, we have a roster and we have these cutout roles or whatever, but it's a little bit more nuanced than that based off of how the flow of the game's going, whether we're having to play to get those threes or they're giving us too much paint. And depending on that, it's like, are we going to play two bigs? Are we going to play, you know, two point guards? What are we going to do? And the roster just isn't just one thing.
Right. Very flexible. That,
yeah. And that being, having that level of analysis in your coach, it's like you're putting your players into these good positions so they trust you, even if they're not getting the amount of minutes that they thought. Like, they're still, I mean, the production is wild.
We over me.
We have the best shooter in college basketball coming off the bench.
Yes.
The nice thing, though, I know you said, you know, not getting the minutes you're expecting, but like I said earlier, everyone's getting roughly 20 minutes. Here, Perry had 3, Noah had 4, everyone else
19
had,
up, or I guess 11.
Chandler had 11. Everyone else had 10 or more. Almanor had 14. Though, I mean, they're really, really cycling these guys in and out.
They played 30 minutes of basketball each.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I don't think there's going to ever even be rumblings of people being pissed about playing time when
they were sold on a vision specifically for team. Yeah, he's had a plan since day one. Like I said, if you let him in the building, he's getting the job. He did. He has a vision. Yeah. He's had it the whole time. Yeah, it's just unfolding at this point.
I mean,
yeah,
this
Kobe
Bryant.
God,
this team's chock full of guys who are very, very good college basketball players who don't necessarily have a career in the NBA. We have guys like Andrew Carr, Kirk Risa, Amari Williams. I'm sure he's going to play pro ball, but probably not in the States. This is the peak of their basketball career. And
they're here to hang nine,
that,
dude.
Yeah. They are here strictly knowing like these are the good old days. Mm-hmm. And
Banner camp.
I think that plays into our advantage because in previous years, I think when things would go poorly, the guys were like, well, I'm going to be in the league next year. So when you have guys playing their heart out.
Class. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, you guys playing their heart out knowing that this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably money-wise too, in a lot of cases, honestly. Like, it's the peak of competition. I mean, money's big right now, man. I mean, you're making good money. You got great awesome. We're making over $2 million. You ain't going to make that anywhere else.
I think, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, Kobe Bryant probably come back to earth a little bit. I just don't know what could happen differently that would make him come back to earth.
Missed shots. That's about what it'll be.
Yeah, I don't think he does that. Google him.
About half the time. Yeah.
Google him.
Yeah, just Google him. Yeah.
Do we want to move on to our Duke preview, fellas?
I mean, yeah. It's going to be a big one.
I think, I mean, so Noah Williamson, I felt like, was the Cooper flag. You know, this was probably a pretty good game to have somebody like that, a 7-footer that scores a lot of points to practice against. So,
and he went 3 for 12. I mean, so
Bush League, 1 for 8 from 3. So
it's the Bush League version, but still.
But it's a live body that's of similar. You know, mm-hmm. I get what you're saying there. I think In no way expect this. Cause what the other biggest games that have happened so far around the country? Baylor, Gonzaga, snoozer. Gonzaga absolutely housed them.
Kansas Carolina.
Did beat Carolina. That was a little tighter, wasn't it? I didn't see the
Louisville, Tennessee.
Yeah, Louisville, Tennessee, not close.
I don't know if Tennessee played a mid-major and was having a big game.
No, we're talking. So, anyways, my point is, I don't think that there's any chance of it being a game like what Baylor saw. Like, thank goodness we hired Mark Pope, right? But I really think it's going to be a close game. Honestly, I really feel good about Kentucky winning it, though. I just pure experience, no, like been there, done that. Like we've, you know, expressed over and over again. I just really think it's a really good time to play that team. Could be totally wrong, but we'll see.
In person,
it's house money. Yeah, we'll be there.
That's
the important part. But it's a house money game. I don't think anybody, other than I think a portion of the Kentucky fan base, is really expecting us to win that game or maybe even really keep it all that close.
I think win the game.
If you told people what would be more likely is for Duke to blow us out or for Kentucky to win the game, I think people would say probably Duke to blow us out.
Probably.
Really? Okay. Right.
But my thing is we've been on the other side of this before. Especially in the Champions Classic, when we play Michigan State, because Michigan State would always have a bunch of old dudes, and we would have a bunch of young talent, and we know, especially in November, experience trumps talent a lot of times.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I might be puffing on that copium, but I like our chances.
I'm going to get – are we doing predictions on this one?
I didn't think we were going to win. You know?
Attaboy. Attaboy.
I think it's going to be a really good game, or we blow them out. You know, I think that's the range of outcome. I don't think Duke can blow us out.
I don't think anybody blows this team out.
Duke out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it would be like psychological warfare that would need to happen for us to blow Duke out. But with
hit a bunch of threes, bro.
It's very possible. We see it.
Kirk Creese committing psychological warfare.
Yeah. And then, Kobe Bryant on national TV in primetime telling Shire, is it Shire?
Yeah.
Who's their coach? Yeah, Shire to call timeout. You better call timeout. You know, that would.
I think for every player on the team, this would be the biggest game they've played in their life, maybe other than Jackson.
Well, no, Lamont.
Lamont played for a title.
Oh, of course. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I'll meet up.
No, you should.
So talking about experience, it looks like against Army, Duke started freshman, sophomore, freshman, junior, freshman. Like you said, we've been there. We know how wrong that can go sometimes. And not saying it will necessarily. Flag looks to be the real deal. So does Knupel. But I know we've looked good in our early games and struggled at that point before too. So it can happen. I definitely cannot wait for this game. I think it'll be fascinating.
Absolutely, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
I'll also add, Ansley Almanor was on the Fairleigh Dickinson team that beat the 1-seed Purdue.
That's true.
So I'm gonna mute up for a while and look for my dunk. Yep.
So this is my thing. I'll tell you this. Cooper Flagg's not going to get rattled in this game, but the rest of the team could. I could see that being a thing. I think Cooper Flagg could play in the NBA tomorrow. Okay. Like he physically could. And he's the real deal. I'm not going to take anything away from that dude. He's absolutely legit. But I don't know that the rest of the team's going to be able to hang with – I mean, it's a team game for a reason. I really do think Kentucky's got a really good shot at winning this game. I think it'll be close, but I think they're going to pull it out.
I like that we're probably going to have Amari on him. I feel like I don't like the matchup as in I think that like Amari's going to be better than Cooper Flagg, but
my concerns are the foul trouble with that. But go on, sorry.
That's why I think that Brandon Garrison could be the reason we win or lose the game.
That's a really good point. I take a lot of what I said.
I make a lot of them. If you just ignore my last take,
I think that is absolutely probably the.
I'm drunk.
Sorry about that. Ran into some technical difficulties. Caleb is no longer with us. Something about a strike. I'm not sure. I think we were leaving off with the Duke game. Fellas, to close this up, do we want to do predictions, MVP, general thoughts on how the game will go?
Absolutely. Number one, we're going to be there. So if anyone's going to be there, come say what up. Number two, we're going to win that game. and the MVP, Amari Williams.
I'm going to go second here because I might be a bit of a pessimist. I don't like being hurt, so I like keeping my expectations low. So I'm gonna take Duke to win in heartbreaking fashion. But if we did win, hypothetically, I think that this is the Jackson Robinson is here party, and he's shining when the lights are brightest.
I have no idea. I'll predict we win a close one. I do think it'll be good. I hope it's not Zion year 2.0. That was among the most defeated I've ever felt watching a sports game. Immediately, I mean, you knew like this isn't going to get better. But I'll say win a close one, Otega MVP.
I like that. Fellas, any closing thoughts before we wrap this bad boy up?
We'll see you at 3-0 on the next one.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching The Catechin. Please remember to like and subscribe. We're not really pushing this out yet, so a lot of our viewers are just organically growing, and we appreciate that. So please like, subscribe, leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify. Thank you so much. Hugs and kisses to you all. Go Cats.
Go Cats.